Hello, everybody. We're gonna talk about Justice League today.
It's a terrible intro.
It's an intro. It's a terrible intro for a very not good movie.
Nerds Polish Turds!
We're working on it.
Flatline.
Welcome to Nerds Polish Turds, everybody. I am one of your hosts, Avery Polinori, and with me are two of my other hosts who have names.
Mason, coming to you live, fresh off his first Justice League watch.
Mason just watched Justice League.
And Tanner.
Just second watched time. It for second the second time. Alright, so I got Tanner and Mason with me, and we literally just watched Justice League like 15 minutes ago. And it's fresh in our minds, and we're here to talk about it on Nerds Polished Turds. So Tanner, in our unofficial first podcast, I explained to you what polished turds means. So do you want to explain to all the listeners out there what that means?
I mean, sure. Basically, it means you try to make something better. You put a lot of work into it, clean it up. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter because it still stinks.
It still stinks.
Yep, the Justice League movie's still out there. So no matter what we do, we're not going to make it any better. Zack Snyder might have his chance. I mean, he might be able to put his original piece of art that maybe wasn't a turd out there, but we'll see. We're looking forward to it, but we're not here to talk about that, at least a lot today. We're here to talk about the movie that came out to theaters that we all know as Justice League. All right. So this portion of the podcast is called The Recrap. The recrap is where we talk about what happened in the movie, and it's got a poop pun, just like everything else in this episode, in this show. So be prepared.
As we have the humor of a middle schooler.
We do. Top. You know what? Shameless. Okay. So the story of Justice League opens up shortly after Superman died in the film Batman vs. Superman: Dawn of Justice. The world's all like, oh, we miss
Big
Superman.
Sad.
We're gonna be sad, and then
so
there's
we're gonna kick oranges.
We're gonna kick. There's white skinheads kicking oranges because there's Muslim women owning a grocery store, and for some reason that's related to Superman being here or not here. But
he would have really cared about saving that woman from getting her fruit kicked.
Yeah, there's a homeless guy saying that he tried. We're not sure what he tried to do.
Yeah,
maybe he tried to be Superman, and he failed. He didn't have the body for it.
He just sewed his own Superman costume. He just tried his hardest, but hey.
Honestly, we're coming up with some interesting concepts for movies right now. Let's
we are the spinoff series.
Maybe not put all our ideas out there. But
so trademark these somehow.
We see that the world is very sad. Batman especially is sad because he feels like Superman dying is kind of his fault, even though it's a little bit unrelated. But Batman is trying to honor Superman's legacy by recruiting a team of superhumans to fight this potential alien battle that Lex Luthor crazily hinted at Batman in prison. It's a little, you have to have had watched Batman vs. Superman to understand at least the beginning of this movie to some degree.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just like, what is a mother box?
I mean, do we still really even know or care? To throw care in there, because
no.
It's like all your other generic movies where it's like, oh, we have Transformers, what's the Allspark? Talk about that in a later episode. Plugged it.
Yep, we will talk about Transformers eventually. But anyway, so Batman, with the help of Wonder Woman, and everyone loves Wonder Woman, but she doesn't seem like the same Wonder Woman in this movie, are trying to recruit these meta-humans to join their team to fight against the forces of Apocalypse. No, we don't really know they're from Apocalypse, but if you read any comics, excuse me, I drank a lot of sangria to get through this movie. If you read any comics, you'll understand that Apocalypse is a thing. So they try to recruit Aquaman, who's all like, nah, man, I'm too cool to hang out with a guy that dresses as a bat. And he says all this in front of
fish, but hey.
Yeah, well, the ocean does the talking, Mason.
Sorry, wake me when it gets interesting.
Please excuse him. It was his first viewing. So he tries to recruit Aquaman. Aquaman's like, nah.
And it will be my last.
Takes off his shirt and goes to the ocean. And then Wonder Woman tries to recruit Cyborg, who's all sad that he's a cyborg. And then Batman goes to recruit Flash, and he's their first successful recruit. Because what else is a guy that watches Rick and Morty and K-pop going to do? You know? He doesn't have any friends.
Wow.
I swear to God, I'm not trying to insult anyone that might be listening to this. I'm wearing a Rick and Morty t-shirt as we record this.
That makes it okay for you to grill them. Got you.
Yeah, I have a special privilege. Please excuse my dog whining in the background. We're keeping him out of here so he's not messing up the mics, but he is using his voice to do the same thing. So,
he's
anyway.
The fourth member of the podcast. Bentley, give us a shout out. The one time he's
that's all he wants is to be acknowledged.
His tail's wagging like that crazy now.
Bentley is like the Flash. He has no friends and just wants to be acknowledged.
He does run pretty fast, too.
He does run fast. He's a very hyper dog. Anyway, so this big horned villain from space, who is not named Loki, comes to steal this magical cube from this facility where he kicks the butt of everyone guarding the cube.
Does that sound familiar?
Yeah, we're not talking about the Avengers. We're talking about Justice League. So this guy's name is... Sorry, Tanner.
They're all female, so I guess that's a difference.
They're all women.
Excuse
they're all... They had shields, though. While they weren't shield, they had shields.
Archers didn't have shields.
The archers did not have shields. That's why they all died. Spoiler alert. In case you didn't realize, there's going to be lots of spoilers here.
We saw that like 8 minutes into the recording. By the way, guys, spoilers.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's what the recap is, spoilers. So Steppenwolf is the name of this guy from outer space who comes through a portal to steal the thing that opens up the portal for some reason. He fights all these Amazons that are guarding the portal, and the Amazons we know from the movie Wonder Woman, this army of all women warriors. He kills a bunch of them, and then he gets the Mother Box. The queen of the Amazons, Queen Hippolyta, sends a signal out to Diana. Diana realizes what's happening, so she decides to join Bruce in this fight, and that's when we get the ball rolling with the rest of the Justice League members. Commissioner Gordon, played by the very buff for his age, J.K. Simmons, decides to contact Batman with the bat signal. Batman, Wonder Woman, and Flash all show up to the bat signal. They find out that some potentially parademons, which are the evil creatures that are working for Steppenwolf.
The
faceless CGI army of this movie have started kidnapping some scientists, so they go to investigate. Cyborg joins them because they took his dad. And then they find all these scientists, they save them, and then Cyborg gets the Mother Box. Aquaman shows up and he saves them just before Steppenwolf escapes. So now the whole team's together, and they're all like, well, we got this Mother Box now that is one of the three that Steppenwolf is after. So what are we going to do with it? And Bruce Wayne, Batman, proposes that they use it to bring Superman back to life because it can do anything.
Great idea.
Honestly, it's the right idea. Superman is shown to be more powerful than any of these team members, and they all suck in comparison to him, at least in terms of powers. But Diana doesn't like this because she says that science has to be moral and all that, but they decide, even though most of them disagree with it, they decide to go with it anyway. They take Superman's body and the Mother Box to the abandoned or not abandoned, but the ship from Krypton that is guarded by a bunch of government facility people. They sneak in there. They get the mother box.
They didn't even really show that, actually.
Well, yeah, they showed Barry Allen in disguise as a
soldier. Oh, yeah, that's true, they did.
And they're all in the truck. Yeah, it all happens very fast. So they get in there. They use some sort of version of science to bring Superman back. Superman's all, like, aggressive. And he starts attacking the Justice League. And then, right at the last minute before he kicks all their butts, Bruce Wayne shows up and he brings Lois Lane along with him. Lois is the key. That was set up in Batman vs. Superman. See, it all ties together a little bit.
Barely.
And
one loose thread.
Bruce Wayne then joins the team as Superman flies off with Lois. And they're all like, oh, told you so, Bruce. So they all go back to the Batcave. Wonder Woman talks with Bruce about how she was wrong and he was wrong. We're not really sure who's right here, who is wrong. They all kind of...
I know who was wrong. This movie.
Yep, this movie was. So they decide that they're not going to be able to have Superman's help because he's off either being crazy or...
being a corn husker.
Being a corn husker with Lois Lane. So they all fly off to Russia. They start fighting the parademons. They're going to use Cyborg to hack into the mother box, the one that Steppenwolf is using to... he's using all three of them now. This movie's not very clear on anything. For as fast as it goes, it doesn't use any of its time to make you pick up on its random sci-fi details. Anyway, they all go to Russia to stop Steppenwolf from using the mother boxes to transform the Earth into whatever type of planet he wants it to be in. While they're in Russia, Bruce Wayne's like, I don't need this team. I'm going to sacrifice myself and destroy the mother boxes myself. And then they're all like, no, we're a team. And then they all start fighting together, and Cyborg starts hacking into the mother boxes because he's powered by the mother boxes and he has some connection with them. And then Steppenwolf shows up and starts kicking butt. But then Superman comes out of nowhere and he's like, hey, I'm here and I'm in my suit again and I'm ready to help you guys. And he basically does their jobs for them. They defeat Steppenwolf. They make him scared, and then all the parademons attack him because they, in case you missed it, which I don't know if I touched upon it, they like to eat fear, or they smell fear. I don't know. They smell it. They eat it.
They eat the people who have.
They eat the people that the aroma of fear is coming off of. Let's go with that because apparently it was good enough for them.
Yeah. Yep. So
they eat him.
They it looks like they're eating Steppenwolf alive. He used the mother boxes to go back to his planet, and then they're all standing around smiling that they saved the day, even though there's potentially toxic alien plants growing in Russia now, while a little girl nearby starts to play with the flowers.
But don't worry, it looks all pretty, so it's definitely harmless.
Yeah. Bruce Wayne ends up buying the bank that has foreclosed the Kent farm, so Superman's mom is not going to be homeless.
Which we were all concerned about.
Cyborg is nice to his scientist dad again, so he can play with the mother box and get a new upgraded version of his body.
It's
yeah, he's upgraded to 5G, really, is what he's doing. Aquaman goes swimming again. Wonder Woman catches some British bad guys.
Now, were they the same ones from the beginning?
They might have been the same ones from the beginning. If I missed this random story beat that has nothing to do with the rest of the plot. At the beginning, Wonder Woman is shown saving a group of people from some random British bad guys. And then bank robbers. I don't know. They're terrorists. I don't know
what
they're
going to hurt people. She saved them.
She saved them. There's some similar looking British bad guys at the end. They might be the same guys. We're not sure. And then the Flash is, you know, just running, and he tells his dad he got a job and some friends, which is what he's been looking for the whole time.
What was the job?
He's working for the Central City Police Department for their crime labs.
Okay.
Which is
set up.
yeah, what his job is in the TV show, and typically his job in the comics as well. Yes. Forensics unit. So anyway, everyone's having a good time. Bruce is like wanting to remodel his very decrepit Wayne Manor into possibly the Hall of Justice. And Clark is walking downtown as Clark Kent, wearing his glasses and his business suit. And then he walks to an alley, opens up his shirt. We see the Superman S, flies to the sky, end of movie. And then we get an after credit scene of Superman racing the Flash. If Superman wins, Barry has to take them all to brunch, because apparently Barry doesn't know what brunch is. And if Flash slash Barry wins, then he gets to brag about it to everybody. Then we have a second after credit scene of Lex Luthor being shown to no longer be in Arkham Asylum. And he's on a boat, and Deathstroke slash Slade Wilson shows up, and he goes up to Lex Luthor, and Lex Luthor says, "Hey, let's start a league of our own." And that's the end of something that looks like a movie. And we're going to take a break. Okay, welcome back, everybody, to the next segment of Nerds Polish Turds. When you left us, we were talking about the plot of Justice League and the recrap, and now it is time for the crap yap.
Crap yap!
There's Mason is giving us all the ideas for the segment transitions, I guess. Anyway, so we're going to talk about our problems with the movie. So I was thinking, Mason, since you just saw this movie for the first time today, what are your like initial thoughts? Even if you have good things to say, you can say that too.
Well, the only bright shining spot in this movie was the Flash. I liked him. He was funny.
What did you like besides the fact that he was funny? Like, was he an interesting character, or did you just like his quips?
His quips. I always love I love a good quip when it's, you know, actually good. I mean, he was kind of interesting. Again, though, they didn't really develop that many of the characters that right. well, aside from the fact that we knew he was kind of like a loner, an outsider. Other than that, we didn't really know much about him, but I don't know. I just felt like he brought a lighthearted sense to the film that actually made sense, unlike trying to force Batman to be funny, which he never is.
Right.
That was actually the issue that I had, one of them. Steppenwolf was a boring villain. Your generic bad guy whose motives were so, like, unclear. It was as clear as mud. I didn't really understand what he wanted, why he wanted it.
He was mama's boy.
Yeah, well, guess what? It doesn't mean you go, like, murdering, like, a bunch of people.
I mean,
exactly.
Fair. Carry on.
Let's see. What else? Probably the thing that annoyed me the most is they assemble this team, and Steppenwolf literally smacks them all around every single time they fight, except for finally Superman comes in, and he dispatches him with no problem, making it seem like all the other, what is it? Five, Batman, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, Cyborg, and Flash.
Yeah.
Making the other five seem absolutely weak and pointless and useless. Okay, yeah, Batman doesn't have superpowers, but he's a capable fighter. Wonder Woman and Aquaman definitely should have put up way more of a fight.
Mm.
Cyborg was basically just used as the guy who knew about the motherboard or whatever, the mother box. That's the only usefulness he had. And the Flash basically just continued to, like, be, like, that cartoon version of, like, you slip on a banana peel because he was tripping all the time, like.
Well, are you dogging on your boy, the Flash?
When now? They actually try and, like, make him useful, they're like, oh, shoot, he actually is kind of powerful. Or, like, he's got something useful, so we need to find a way to tone him down.
That's true.
Just like Aquaman and Wonder Woman. Like, Steppenwolf just, like threw him around like they were nothing. But then Superman comes in, and then Wonder Woman, and it's mainly Wonder Woman, gets, like, rejuvenated. And she's like, oh my gosh, I can fight him now. in the end. It's like, where was this like 10 minutes ago?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. Like, Steppenwolf is very underdeveloped as a villain, which we can talk about in comparison of other movies in this similar vein. But yeah, I agree with pretty much all what you said there. Tanner, what are your thoughts on the Justice League?
I mean, I feel like I don't have too much more to add to that. I mean, I'd say, you know, sad that, like, Wonder Woman doesn't have the same power set she had in her actual movie.
Mm.
Even same for, you know, I feel like Batman has, there's issues with him too, compared to just like Batman in general from other movies.
Right.
It's like a skill set.
Anything else?
Not really. It's just bad.
Yeah, we're pretty much all on board here with our thoughts on Justice League. Which, you know, is a maybe is a sign of how universally bad this movie is. There are like individual moments that I personally really like about this movie, like especially aesthetic wise. I'm pretty sure most of them came from before the reshoots happened. For those not familiar, Justice League has had a bad reputation for being under a lot of reshoots. Largely because Zack Snyder, the original director, who also did Man of Steel and Batman vs. Superman, had to drop out because his daughter had passed away in the midst of when they were going to be doing these reshoots. They brought in Joss Whedon, who is the director behind the first two Avengers movies. So a lot of us took that as a good sign, like, oh, maybe we're going to have like an actual good DC movie now, the good superhero team-up movie. And then it just became this weird Frankenstein mix of different types of movies. So whenever I see something that looks a little bit like Zack Snyder put that in there, either Superman looks normal or there's not like forced humor or there's just like a really aesthetically pleasing shot of one of the characters. Like I can see that and I really enjoy those moments and those stick with me. But then it just gets muddled along the way when you watch the rest of the movie. And there's a good movie in here somewhere, but it's not very clear. And obviously, if you haven't heard by now, Zack Snyder has gotten the go-ahead from Warner Brothers to basically finish his version of the film, which will be premiering on HBO Max next year. Either it's going to be a very long, 4-hour long movie, or it will be like a short miniseries. We'll see. I will be watching it either way. We can't really talk about necessarily what is going to be in that, because that's not what this podcast is about, but that's just something to keep in mind as you think about Justice League in general. But yeah, I agree with what Mason said about Steppenwolf. I agree with what Tanner said about like Batman, how his humor was inconsistent and everything, and how he didn't really get to show off his skill set. And the same thing with like Wonder Woman's powers. Like she was shown in the movie Wonder Woman that she could fly and shoot lightning out of her hands and everything. So I guess she wouldn't have had to use all of that, but they should have made it clear why she wasn't doing that.
Because again, can't have her be powerful because Superman's got to fly in and save the day.
Right, yeah. So, yeah, other than that, like, my issues with this movie are the fact that it can't seem to decide, like, what its themes are. Like, with Batman vs. Superman and Man of Steel, you very clearly see kind of what those movies are about. Sometimes they hit you over the head with them, but you know that Man of Steel is basically a retelling of, like, the Christ story of a person from another world coming to save us all. And it's very elevated and it feels very, everything feels very holy and over the top and everything in a very righteous way. I gotta stop saying very. And then Batman vs. Superman, you see that it's like this fall from grace for Superman. You see that it's really the darkest part of the the DC Universe, the Darkness Before the Dawn. And I think Justice League is really supposed to be that dawn, that light that comes with all of it, but you really don't feel that reverence that you feel with the other movies. Love it or hate it, at least Man of Steel and Batman vs. Superman kind of knew what movies they were. And Justice League is just like, we're trying to just be this fun superhero team-up movie. We're not really trying to say or do anything special with it. Which I think really played it safe, and that was really to the movie's detriment. We have a lot of Joss Whedon-isms in there, which are these kind of forced quippy lines, like when Superman shows up and he says, "Oh, I know you didn't bring me back just because you liked me," and Bruce Wayne says, "I don't not." That's just like something that Bruce would never say. It feels very out of character, but it feels like something that Joss Whedon would write. Same thing with like moments like Barry Allen just falling on Diana's chest and everything. That's like a very forced, a little bit sexist piece of comedy that just shows up out of nowhere. And it doesn't really fit like in this universe. And then just like the old woman in one scene who's complaining about her husband being abducted by aliens. She's just like cursing out the aliens on live TV. That it's all trying to have humor just from the dialogue and not from anything that happens naturally. And sometimes we get those moments with the Flash, like Mason was saying, but most often it just feels forced and like it's trying to be something that it's not. But yeah. Do you guys have like any other thoughts on like those ideas or whatever? I know we kind of said a lot right there.
I think back to Superman about like I kind of saying we were talking before we started this about it feels like he either needs to be in it the whole time or not at all.
Yeah,
it's just a really weird arc for him.
Yeah, and not only that, like when he's there, it doesn't feel like the at least the same Superman that we've got to know from the previous movies.
Yeah. Even when he's there, like. He goes away and rescues civilians, which I guess is maybe true to character, but it doesn't fit, like, the movie.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it just feels like everything about the Superman in this movie and about the plot in general is everyone just trying to respond to the negative reception of the first two movies, which I get why they would do that to some degree, but then you gotta have some vision to go with. You can't just... If you're going to undo a vision, you got to have another vision to replace it. You can't just say, oh, we're not going to do that and then do nothing, which is kind of what this movie does.
Or
and then
it just takes like pieces of someone's vision and then they slap in other stuff that they wanted.
Right.
Like we literally took Zack Snyder's version and Josh Whedon version and we just like stuck it in a blender, hit mix, and we just dumped out like whatever was produced in there. We're like, you know what? We just need something to give out to the public. As long as it makes sense on a surface level, we're good to go. Because that's what we want. That's what I feel like they came to the conclusion in the end.
You're right. And I don't think that smoothie or milkshake or whatever metaphor you were using tastes very good.
I don't know. Did I say smoothie or milkshake? I'm a milkshake.
You put it in a blender. I just assumed it was one or the other.
I'm going to go milkshake because I'm a milkshake kind of guy.
That's fine. That's fine. But yeah, and then like there's just the movie doesn't look very good. Like everything,
oh yeah,
with
yeah,
the majority of it being reshot, everything looks like it's filmed in front of clearly like a green screen.
That corn scene when they were at the farm with Superman was so off-putting to me.
Yeah, like how cheap would it have been to film in an actual cornfield? But everything about it looks like they're just inserted in there instead of actually living and breathing in there.
Come to Ohio. You can find cornfields everywhere. Bring your cameras.
Honestly,
right
it wouldn't
there.
Be that expensive. I'm talking like I know how to film a movie. I don't. But if I were to guess, I would say it's not very expensive to go off to somewhere where there's a cornfield and film there. I'm sure they have cornfields in California or wherever they were filming.
But that final battle scene was just so bad looking. It was
yeah.
just disgusting, honestly.
I told Mason when we were watching it, it reminded me of like when the device in Cloudy with the Chance of Meatballs started like malfunctioning and everything, and not that Bloody with a Chance of Meatballs is a bad movie, but
it was better than this movie.
It was, yeah, it was better than this movie. But it was just like, it felt like it didn't belong. Everything that existed in this movie, like in individual moments, that wasn't from whatever the original vision was, it just felt like it didn't belong here in this universe or in this movie. And then once Superman comes back to life, I'm in the minority here, I'm sure. I love Superman as a character. I've read a lot of his great comics. I don't think his movies are that great. But I was Mason does not like Superman. I know that for sure. Tanner, I'm not sure about your feelings about Superman.
In general?
Yeah. Well, yeah, in general.
In general, I like him. But in
like
this movie, I don't.
Yeah, I agree. I don't like him in this movie. But he just feels like so lifeless, even though I thought that Henry Cavill
brought him to life.
He literally feels like, even after he quote unquote comes back and is like the Superman we're all supposed to know and love, he feels like a hollowed out version of him, like that Pet Sematary version that Barry Allen keeps bringing up.
See, that's the funny part of the Flash right there. Natural.
Understand his references. Yeah, the Flash is cool because he's like a nerd like us, so I kind of like that. But yeah, and then that coupled with the fact that they had to CGI over Henry Cavill's mustache that he was contractually obliged not to shave for whatever other movie he was in.
Mission Impossible.
It just makes his face look weird. Nothing about his performance seems natural. Makes his mouth look weird. It looks like someone
the annoying orange when they put like a mouth on him that's like so much bigger than the orange.
Yeah,
that's literally like what like Henry Cavill's like mouth looks like when they like take away the mustache.
Annoying orange Superman,
basically.
But yeah, what were you gonna say?
That one time he smiles and it's like the gap from like the corner of his mouth to his teeth is like unnatural.
Yeah, it's like it's going to his ears practically.
You don't even have to be looking like to notice how bad this is.
Yeah. Tanner, you said something earlier when we were kind of talking about it with the mustache, like what you thought they should do. But
yeah,
what was your idea?
I think he should have got a full beard.
Yeah,
he had a full beard in Man of Steel. I mean, like at the end of Batman v Superman, the rocks above the ground are rising, so maybe that means his body didn't fully die, so it just grew out facial hair. Like, that solved everything.
Yeah, and I mean, like, that happens with, don't at me if I'm wrong about this, but I'm pretty sure, like, sometimes dead bodies can, like, keep growing hair and fingernails, and that's why people thought that vampires existed or something. That's a whole other rabbit hole there. But, like, it would make sense, especially if his cells are dormant, like they say in the movie, that he would still, like, keep acting like he was alive or, like, in a coma or whatever. So that would be a perfectly justifiable reason for Henry Cavill to keep his facial hair, and I'm sure it'll be much easier to CGI a beard on his face than it would to CGI.
Or you know, just grow it out and shave it when he gets back to the set.
Yeah, that would have been so easy. Which, even if they didn't do it that way, in the movie Logan, like, Hugh Jackman had his beard CGI'd on his face, and that looks flawless in that
really?
Movie. Yes. Fun fact there. Definitely watch the movie Logan. It's better than this movie. But yeah, so do you guys have any more thoughts, any more criticisms of the movie before we move on to our next segment?
No.
Okay.
I was also reading about the beard and everything, and it's a myth.
It's a myth.
It's a myth, but
darn.
Like, when you, like, die, I had the article up, but it's gone. But basically, like, you're no longer able to, like, obviously, like, your cells and everything have stopped working.
Yeah.
So you can't grow facial hair. It also was talking about you can't grow fingernails, but it said something about, like, your skin gets, like, pulled back in the end, so that's why your nails appear longer and you start to see stubble because, like, your skin is just, like,
receding.
Is receding, yeah. So, like, more is, But yeah, so there's your little science tidbit. New segment alert!
We'll see if that stays in other episodes. But you never know what you're going to learn on Nerds Polish Turds. But we'll talk more about Justice League and probably not science after the break. All right, welcome back, everybody. We have left you with our thoughts on all the bad doo-doo stuff that's in the Justice League movie. We've gone over the plot, everything that kind of sucks about it, and there's probably a lot more that we can talk about with that. But now we're going to try to bring out the polish, not in a weird way. We're just we're gonna talk about our ideas. That was not a good way to say that.
No, dude, we're bringing out the polish, busting out the polish.
Mason's going. He's all on board for
it. I'm all on it. Yeah, whatever.
Okay, so this is our last main segment of the show that I like to call the Pitch Fest, where we all
get pitchy.
We pitch our ideas for how the movie could be better. So if we want to, we can kind of do this like a free flow discussion or take turns or however you guys want to do it. I don't really care.
I feel like this one might be better if we all just ping pong off of each other. That's fine. Other than maybe you, because you said you wrote some stuff
down. I do have some solid ideas, I think.
Tanner and I over here kind of probably we could just ping pong off each other like, oh, this would be cool. But, you know, hey, if you want to start off...
No, you guys go into it.
All right, so...
I think you're ready.
So, I guess start off would be, you know, keep closer to the original vision. Stick with two movies.
Of Zack Snyder.
Like, I think he had a good story going, and that one just helps a lot. It just... Like, Steppenwolf was not a good villain, but if he was, like, a general and...
And like the little paragon, then
he would have like instead of the main villain, I think it would have worked out better.
Yeah,
to be at least a little more understanding of who he is.
Would you have had another main villain, or like had it him clearly setting up like another villain, like Darkseid or something?
I'd say
like
probably
that.
Clearly setting up.
Yeah,
as long as you're going for the two movie route,
right?
If you're not, then. Then there needs to be a different villain.
But yeah, if you're like going with Zack Snyder's original vision, definitely like two movie route.
Yeah,
I had an epiphany. All right, are you ready for this? So I think this kind of would have been cool. I just thought of this. So if we had the two, I'm on board with the two movie theory. So we have that guy. His name is so stupid. I don't even want to say it. We had him kind of be the main face of this one, but we knew in the background that there was a bigger force, Darkseid. Then we could have these five heroes in this one kind of kick the crap out of them, and their like morale is boosted. They're like, man, we're such a great team. And on the side, there's, you know, like looking into like getting super like. Reviving Superman so it doesn't feel like it's just like, hey, let's like throw this in here too, because I felt like that was super force too.
So it kind of builds towards that, but
it builds for that because of this. So like, let's say like in the end, like they just take care of Steppenwolf very easily for the most part, and then they're like gelling as a team. They're like, man, dude, we're great. We're gonna save the world easy peasy every time. And then the second movie rolls around, and they just get absolutely pummeled by the big bad guy, a.k.a. Darkseid. Then, like, you know, they kind of, like, level out. They're like, oh, my goodness, we are not enough. We're doomed right now. And, you know, obviously you've had the Superman thing building in the background, and then they come together, and maybe, like, Superman gels the whole team together.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when they fight Darkseid again, like, literally this time, all, like, unified, quote-unquote, as a team, I think that's...
I really like that, and I actually had some similar ideas, but yeah. Tanner, what were you going to say?
That's right about it. I agree with
that.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, like, I like the concept
of... So maybe add Green Lantern.
Yeah. Somehow.
Add Green Lantern. Honestly, like, if
Martin
we...
Martian Manhunter.
if we could go back and like put little YouTube videos of Martian Manhunter and Green Lantern and Batman versus Superman, then we're all set that we just
Which
put them in
Martian
the
Martian Manhunter was supposed to be in it because the guy in Man of Steel, the general.
Yeah, General Swanwick, I think his name is.
He's the Martian Manhunter, according to Zack Snyder.
Right, yeah. He shared, Zack Snyder shared some storyboards showing Swanwick transforming into the Martian Manhunter. And we do get a little tease of Green Lantern, so we know that Green Lantern exists in this universe, even though there wasn't one on the team, but that could happen. But yeah, I really liked your idea of like kind of pacing it out, kind of pairing, like what Tanner was saying, with Zack Snyder's original vision of spacing it out, and what you were kind of saying of like having them gain that confidence of being a team themselves, and then afterwards they realize they can't be Steppenwolf and everything. I was thinking something kind of similar, but I was also wanting to tie into like the larger DC universe as a whole, because before this movie came out, we actually got Suicide Squad,
which we will also talk about later.
Yeah, probably. I mean, Suicide Squad has its supporters. I definitely don't hate the movie.
An Oscar winner.
Will Smith and Margot Robbie carried that movie. Let's be real.
But they are not what won this Oscar. anyway, so that movie sets up this world of, like, kind of the shady government agency known as Argus and how they kind of have all this information on metahumans. So I thought maybe what actually spurs the team into action is Argus is trying to take down these metahumans as, like, basically trying to make sure that they don't have to worry about them. And they use their own version of Superman, a clone version of Superman, ooh, a.k.a. Bizarro, but maybe a less dumb Bizarro. so they're all fighting this guy that's basically Superman, and that's how the team comes together. They're all trying to survive. And then we get a new-ish version of the Suicide Squad that includes Deathstroke, and Deathstroke can definitely hold his own against a lot of superhumans because of his heightened brain and combat abilities. And he could definitely hold his own against Batman. So that would give Batman something to do in the movie. He could fight Deathstroke a lot. And then we could have a character like Black Manta show up who doesn't necessarily have to have a superpower to explain, but he has a super high-tech suit and allows him to go underwater and fight Aquaman. And then we just have them we have some villains with motivation. We see, like, Amanda Waller kind of would be the villain behind all this because she wants to keep the world safe. And we did have that kind of tease at the end of Suicide Squad when Bruce Wayne said, "We'll put a stop to your team." So she's like, "Well, maybe I'll put a stop to your team first." So I don't have all the ideas ironed out, but I would kind of go down that route. I don't think I would bring in all the members of the Suicide Squad because that would be a lot of very big characters to have in one movie without having introduced all the main characters yet. So I would just keep it with those kind of three central villains of Manta, Deathstroke, and Bizarro. And then we kind of hint at the capabilities of Mother Box. And like Mason was saying, we build towards the idea of bringing Superman back. And the next one, we definitely realize that Superman needs to come back because of the threat of Steppenwolf or Darkseid and Apocalypse. And that's all saved for the sequel. But yeah. Do you guys have any thoughts based on those ideas?
Do you like the concept of, like, villains teaming up?
Yeah.
We haven't really seen that yet in a superhero movie.
Not as much.
Know, really?
Well, we've seen it, like, forced in other movies that I can think of.
Like Spider-Man movies.
Like Spider-Man 3 is the base one that I can think of. Like, hey, we both kind of just like I don't know. That's another discussion for another day, but like we've never seen them like literally go like, let's team up so we can actually accomplish this goal and maybe even just create this powerful alliance where we can just, you know, rise to the top.
Right.
And stay there.
Yeah, and it just makes me think of like whereas X Cube Well is in Legends of Tomorrow on the CW, but season two, they had the Legion of Doom. It was Reverse Flash, Danny Dark, and I forget who the third guy was. But it worked really well.
yeah,
pairing them together, and it felt natural.
Part of that, I'm sure, is probably because it's like a serialized television show. Maybe that's like what stories like this need, though, and like they.
If you're universe building, then I think so.
Yeah. While you have like better budgets generally with movies, and you can do more with special effects and everything, you can space out your movies and have, or space out your stories and have better character development if you have like a TV show.
But but we're working towards a point where you can space out your movies in a way too.
Right.
You've
which
seen
is what the MCU did.
Yeah, the MCU, even the Hunger Games, even, can't believe I'm going to say this, Twilight did it too, you know, and that was like way back when too. So it's not like unheard of anymore.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it made it better. Like think about like Marvel or even like Harry Potter or Twilight. If you smush that all into one movie, or the Hunger Games, you smush all of that into one movie and you probably aren't even going to like it either. And most of those movies people like, I'll say, most.
They make money. They all made money.
All made money. Most of them got good reviews, I'm pretty sure. I don't know for a fact on Twilight.
I haven't kept up with the Rotten Tomatoes community.
I mean, we haven't heard as much of an outcry. These are terrible movies as we have other ones, though.
Yeah. But yeah, there's like a lot that they could do to space it out. And I don't know. I feel like at least this would... I agree with what Tanner said, that we should be going for like Zack Snyder's original vision. But if, let's say, Zack Snyder wasn't the first one to do Justice League, like we had someone in the middle of it, even if it was all Joss Whedon, we should have had something like a little more down to earth and to establish all these new characters first, which is, I feel like, what could have happened with a movie like this. And then I don't know if these villains would have had a lot of depth. Probably not. At least Amanda Waller would have, and then their powers would give the other heroes a chance to showcase their powers and everything. And I agree with what you guys said about Batman. I would definitely tone down his humor. I would bring Wonder Woman's full powers in there, or give her a definite clear reason as to why she's not using her powers that way. Maybe it's like too powerful for her to control or something, and that could be like an interesting story arc and all
could,
that.
But that's dangerous line to toe, because it could also just come off as cliche, like you're trying to nerf her like they did like Vision or Hulk in like the newest Avengers movie. They straight up just were like, yeah.
But it kind of works like with her character, because all she really cares about is protecting people. She's all about like love and all that. So if her powers lead her to destroy more than it does that, that would kind of make sense. But yeah. And then there's a lot more for Batman to do in this movie that I'm envisioning, because he has to deal with a lot of espionage stuff, dealing with shadowy government agencies and fighting against people like Deathstroke, who don't have superpowers. But
Winter Soldier, question mark?
Hey, listen, just because they exist in the same genre doesn't mean they're not the same movie.
Hey, I'd be all for it.
Honestly, yeah. We really needed Ben Affleck's Batman movie, but we understand Ben Affleck has his own life that he's got to live, too. And I am excited for the Robert Pattinson Batman movie, too.
I just feel like they don't... I mean, you read comics more than I do, and they feel... They, in the comics, I feel like they probably genuinely still make it feel like Batman is kind of like a threat with like the more paranormal, like higher powered, like people, right?
I mean, he generally, in his own comics, doesn't face off against
people. They kind of like come together with this movie.
When he's in the Justice League, he definitely is more of a background player, but he doesn't just stand on the sidelines and steal an alien gun and just shoot
things. Yeah, and that's what I feel like this movie and like them, they didn't know what to do with him when they got him in this more like supernatural setting, because it's like this guy, when you boil Batman down, like it or not, or you know, hate me for saying it or not, but he literally is just a guy that's got a bunch of, you know, fighting experience and cool gadgets and stuff.
Yeah.
He's not, you know, Wonder Woman who's like doing like flips and kicks and jumping high and flying, and even Aquaman, who can take a beating way more than, you know, or he can't even, like, have super speed or anything like that.
And that's all general audiences know of Batman. But if you read the comic book Batman, or even, like, watch the cartoons, you see that he's the world's greatest detective, so he's very good at investigating things. He's very useful for those quieter moments that set up the story and aren't always necessarily in on the action. And then he also is really good at strategy, so he can pinpoint what individual heroes need to do and help them figure out how to use their powers in the best way possible. And it kind of shows, like, why he's necessary on the team and not just that he's there because he's a popular character.
You have your namesakes there, so it draws people in. It actually has a purpose.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah. If I were to suggest another version of this movie that could have been better, I would say they just do a montage of, or an anthology of, the best Justice League animated series episodes. Just because that series is dope AF.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. So those are our thoughts on Justice League, the fake Zack Snyder cut / Joss Whedon.
The milkshake combo of both.
Yeah. The milkshake
that.
Combo of both. Yeah, so it's not a great movie. There's glimmers of goodness in it. Would you guys recommend watching it for any reason?
No, not really.
I mean, just to understand the somewhat very vague overarching story of the DCEU.
If you are a DC fan, watch it just, you know, so you can see how they butchered some of your favorite characters, I guess, so you can have an opinion.
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't really see a point. Really, I'm
watch it for the Flash and Aquaman.
Yeah,
Flash and Aquaman.
Basically,
what Tanner? Would you say it's necessary? Having seen Aquaman, would you say it's necessary to have watched Justice League to understand Aquaman?
No.
Yeah.
But he's in it, so might as well.
Yeah. I kind of feel the same way. That's not necessarily a dig on the movie, but it's not very much an endorsement of it. I would say a good reason to watch this movie, though, would be to have your expectations so low for the Snyder Cut that you just really have a good time watching that after having watched this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair.
So, yeah, the Snyder Cut should be coming out sometime in 2021. Not sure when. Get HBO Max or whenever it comes out. That would be a good idea. If you have DC Universe, like I do, you can use a promo code to get a discount rate for HBO Max right now. I'm sure you'll be able to do it in the future if you don't want to do it until the Snyder Cut comes out. But yeah, so that's Justice League. We're going to wrap up the show. Do you guys have anything that you're watching right now, or any games that you're playing, or, I don't know, anything that you feel like listeners should know about?
Like, in a good sense?
Like, yeah.
Oh.
With all this negative stuff.
I said earlier, as we were talking earlier, I'm halfway through Defending Jacob on Apple TV Plus.
Oh, okay.
With Chris Evans.
Ooh! Yeah. Oh yeah, I saw that.
Pretty
good.
It's Chris Evans plays a district attorney or assistant district attorney, and then he's charged with the case of a teen in the community is murdered, and then his son becomes the prime suspect.
Ooh!
So it's the defending Jacob. So far, so good. Is it halfway through it?
So it's a comedy.
No, it's drama.
<I'm just kidding.
laughs> It's a drama.
What?
It's a comedy about death.
It's a raunchy comedy.
No, it's a drama.
Gosh.
That's a really good drama.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah.
I got it.
So that's on Apple
TV Plus.
Apple TV Plus. Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Which, I mean, I have the free trial that I bought an iPhone in the past year. So
that's cool. Yeah.
I'm like, you've been good for a whole year, so it's like, yeah, sure, I'm not.
Nice.
I got it. The Blacklist.
The Blacklist.
Dude, on Netflix. It is so good. Hooks you like immediately. There's no dry spell. Twists and turns that you don't see coming. But don't ever type in The Blacklist, because like Google autofill could spoil stuff for you. Like one thing
spoiled
for me. Oh yeah. Don't ever do it.
Don't ever Google anything you don't want to be spoiled on.
Basically.
How many seasons of Blacklist are there now? And is it still going? Is it still ongoing?
Yes. Yeah, it's still ongoing. So right now, as of this recording, there is 6 seasons. The 7th one is done. It, like, all of it has happened, I'm pretty sure, because as of, you know, like, everything that's going on right now, but I'm pretty sure all of season 7 is done. It's going to be on Netflix in, like, late September, I'm pretty sure I read, and it has been renewed for an 8th season, but who knows when that's going to start.
Surprise winner.
Yeah. Hopefully. Who knows?
That's
yeah.
true. Could be a couple years for all
we know. Oh my gosh.
That's how everything's going to be right now. So we're just going to be using this podcast to rewatch a bunch of stuff that we've already
bad
seen.
Movies that we...
And they're the worst of the worst.
We're not even going with the good ones. We're like, let's watch the bad ones.
Yeah.
That's how desperate we are.
Yeah, so those both sound like really good shows. I will definitely, whenever I'm not watching anything else on my watch list, get into those. But right now, I after being on like a 5-year hiatus, I decided to get back into The Walking Dead.
Woo! Joining the crew, baby!
Yeah, I was really tired of all the gruesome deaths and the depressing storylines. And I've still gotten a lot of those, but there's some good character development and good moments that have redeemed that.
I tried telling him that years ago, but he's finally listening.
I've finally been introduced to Negan and Lucille and all that. And
great character.
I won't spoil anything for you, but there's a lot of high stakes and high emotions with these most recent episodes I've been getting into, so... if you have not, if you're one of the very few people like myself who hasn't watched any of The Walking Dead, definitely go back and check it out. Maybe even check out Fear the Walking Dead, which is available on Hulu right now if you want to watch that. Which has very little to do with The Walking Dead TV series, but is cool if you want to see some family zombie drama.
I got something else. I'm gonna plug this every single podcast.
Okay,
you know what's coming, most likely, maybe, I don't know.
I know
Destiny 2.
Okay.
The game. Gotta love it. It's in a great spot right now. Season of Arrivals, you love to see it.
I have nothing to add on that, because I don't play a lot of video games. I don't play video games.
Yeah, that game will change your life. If you play with friends, it will be even more fun, so...
There you go.
I play Rocket League.
I mean, that's a fun game, too.
Yeah,
I can do that.
Nothing to add to that, either. I can't remember the last time I played a video game.
Avery is not the video game nerd. That resides with Mason, most of which... I don't know how versed you are in gaming, Tanner.
I'm casual gamer.
Okay, so I'm the video game nerd. He's the comic book nerd. He's the guy that's got the nerd shirt. Signing out
Tanner
until next week or month.
I have one more thing to plug, real quick.
Ruined.
If you decide to do like a free trial of HBO Max or HBO or something, I binge watched all of the Watchmen TV series for HBO. And whether you have read the Watchmen graphic novel, watched the movie, or you're just interested in the concept, it is so good. I don't have a lot of time to get into all of it, but it deals with a lot of tropes from the superhero genre, a lot of racial tensions that are going on in the real world. So it's very relevant, and it's very well done. I definitely cried at the end of the first season. And it's one of those shows where it kind of wraps up the story in the first season, and it could go longer, but you could get a complete story with just those first runs of episodes. So yeah, check out The Watchmen on HBO, HBO Max, any of their things. Do a free trial, watch it in a week, whatever.
Wait, I've got the perfect sign-off. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
It's short, sweet, to the point. All right, this is Mason, Avery, and Tanner signing off till next month. Peace.
Peace. But-